This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the Land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 22nd day of October 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, I'll ask you to dial a phone number with your pledge of financial support for the programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's 217-244-9455. We'll talk with Jackie Vague. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Look at the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and update the cash grain markets with the folks at the Anderson's facility near Logansport, Indiana. And it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Checking now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Wednesday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit were lower. December contract down 3 cents at $3.53. The March at $3.67, 2.5 lower. And the May at $3.76, down 2.5. July at $3.83 and a quarter, 2.25 lower. And next year's December at $3.99, down 2.5 cents. November beans today at $9.62 and 3 quarters, a penny and a half lower. January futures down 2 at $9.69 and 3 quarters. March 977 down 2, the May at 991, a penny and 3 quarters lower, and July futures at 991 down a penny and 3 quarters. Actually, the May futures were at 984 and 3 quarters, 2 and a quarter lower, and next year's November at 974 and a quarter, down 1 and 1 half. Bean meal futures at $4.90 lower, $3.38 the final trade. Bean oil at $32.14, that's 38 cents higher on the afternoon. Wheat futures finished the nearby December hard red at $6.05 at a quarter, up 3, and December soft red at $5.22 and a quarter, also up 3 cents. Live cattle in the October at $167.65, $1.10 higher. December up 95 cents at $168 even. October feeder cattle at $239.45, up 50 cents. November futures at $235.12 and a half, up $1.20. And the lean hogs finished the December contract at $89.75 per 100 pounds, $1.30 higher. The February futures were up $1.65 at $87.72.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, December contract, $80.39, down $2.10. The Arbob wholesale price of gasoline at $2.15, that's 6 2/10 of a cent lower. Ethanol futures at $1.77.5, up a half cent. And the spread between those two is 37.5 cents wide now. That's 6 7/10 narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.66 4/10, down 4 7/10. Ethanol, or rather diesel, at $2.46 6/10, down 4 6/10 of a cent. Gold futures at $1,245 even, or $6.20 lower at the end of the day. And the U.S. dollar up 0.451 at 85.753. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, sunny skies, a high of 58 degrees on an east-northeast wind at about 5 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear and a low of 38. East winds again at 5 miles an hour. They'll be light and variable. And then tomorrow, sunny skies with a high of 60. Winds will turn to the southwest at 5 to 9. Thursday night, a 30% chance of rainfall before 1 in the evening, a.m. that is. Mostly cloudy and a low of 48 degrees on a south wind at about 6 miles an hour for Thursday night. Friday, sunny skies and 66. Winds out of the west at 3 to 7. Friday night, partly cloudy and a low of 49. Saturday, sunny skies and 69. Saturday night, clear and 45. Sunday, sunny and 68. And Sunday night, mostly clear and 51. As we start the work week, sunny skies with a 71-degree top and a bottom with partly cloudy skies on Monday evening and 51 degrees. Chance of rainfall back in the forecast by the time we get to Tuesday. Otherwise, partly sunny skies and 63. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated. He, of course, is in Kansas City.
Support comes from AgriGold, Celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line for this Wednesday to take a look at what happened in the marketplace on this 22nd day of October is Jackie Vake. She's from Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Some interesting things happening in the marketplace. Let's take up some technical sides of the market, not involved with how futures traded, but how they will trade in the futures, in the future, that is, because the CME Group has decided they're going to lower the daily trading limits.
Right. This is the quarterly adjustment that was set up when they put the new limits in, and so it goes into effect on November the 3rd. Corn's going to actually drop from 35 to 25. And the expanded limit will now be just 40. Beans is going down, are going down 70 from a dollar. Their expanded limit $1.05. Chicago wheat 35 down from the current 45 with an expanded limit of 55, and KC wheat 40 down from the current 50 with the expanded limit of 60. And so, you know, this is what we've all been wanting for a long time. It's more of a representative of the price range that we're in and a percentage of what that price range is.
Okay, so to clarify, the trading range for corn limit is now 25 cents.
Right.
For soybeans, 70 cents.
Yep.
Soft red Chicago wheat will be 35 cents.
That's correct.
Yep. And then Kansas City wheat will be 40 cents.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So those are all the numbers we're dealing with at the moment, will be dealing with, and that starts when, November the 3rd? Is
November the 3rd,
okay.
Right.
Okay, so that's the technical side of the market, at least one of the things producers will be dealing with, and we haven't hit the limits for a while, but at some point we probably will again, and that's where we stand. So let's talk about other things that are happening in the marketplace. Just before you came on the air with us, I was reading the numbers for the outside markets and looking at the spread between ethanol and crude oil, and it has narrowed substantially at this point.
Yeah, and it's having a negative impact. There's no question about it. We've seen margins since the 4th of September on ethanol drop from 70 cents a gallon down to around the 10 cent level, and it's pretty well held. Nobody knows for sure from one plant to the next that they need somewhere between 20 and 25 to service debt, you know, and meet expenses. So this is not good news for us, and I believe the last time we've actually seen this strong a situation was back in 2009.
What's behind the move? Just the cheaper price of corn, the cheaper price of crude oil, the combination of the two?
I think it's a combination of the two, but crude is probably what carries the most. You know, crude oil is down $13 a barrel in that same time frame that we're looking at. And I think, you know, it's just generally the way it is. Now, there could be some good news there. You know, they may still choose to use ethanol. And the guys, at least some of the people I've talked to, said that, you know, they intend to produce up to the requirement. But now they may not overproduce like they have been doing for a while. And so we have to keep a very close eye on it because it directly affects us when it comes to the corn market.
And that's the domestic production of ethanol. There are things happening on the global front, too.
Absolutely. You know, we see Brazil expanding its corn ethanol production, and, you know, they've been retooling their sugarcane plants to be able to handle corn. And, you know, the other thing we have to take into account here, just like when you look at crude oil and the fact that crude oil is actually priced in U.S. dollars everywhere in the world, the U.S. dollar has gone higher, so it does not make our ethanol cheaper. It makes our ethanol more expensive.
And then other things that are in the outside market, I don't know what you've been looking at. China's usually of interest.
Oh, China. China's been pretty amazing. In fact, I was very fortunate to hear a really good speaker about China, and I was shocked by this. He said that, you know, in terms of their economy right now, and if you compare them to us, they're where we were in 1910. You know, to me, that's just absolutely surprising. And, you know, I guess a person then better understands why every single time we see them not meeting their growth expectations, restrictions and things like that, people are looking at it and saying, holy cow, could we see China go through the same type of thing that we did back in the 30s? And, you know, they've made some, I don't want to call them foolish price program in place for corn and rice and all kinds of different things. And so what they've virtually done is made their prices too high, and they've driven record imports. So, you know, this slowdown in demand that they're seeing over there with the record grain harvest is just adding to the stockpile. So there's a lot of discussion, and I believe it's going to happen, that they're going to probably put in a direct payment program very similar to what we had, so that they can reduce their prices and therefore slow down the imports. And so a lot of things. And I think you can really see the impact of the dollar there, too. If you look at China's imports from January through September of this year, wheat is down 49.4%, and it's been replaced by Australia. You know, so Australia has picked up the pace plus. Now, on beans, on the other hand, we're up 38%. A little over 17 million metric tons. And so, you know, it's a situation where it's just an ongoing, constantly changing situation. They came out today and said they expect China corn purchases to be down from 40 million metric tons, from 60 down to 40. And so I think this whole thing is just going to cause the GMO approval to drag on for who knows how long, too.
And if I suppose they're looking to build their own agriculture, they can use that GMO ban, if that's what they decide to do, to protect their own seed industry.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's also, I think, a really great way for them to diversify their corn import suppliers. You know, China's always been good at that, being able to make sure that we all know how big they are and how much we need them. And, you know, I think just to bounce off of that, it's interesting because you look at those countries and then you look at, like, Argentina. We talked last week about Argentina talking about maybe nationalizing a company that currently exists down there. In other words, taking them over and saying we can do this. In those countries, they can do that type of thing. And so you never know exactly what's on the horizon for any of the people that we depend on.
As we wrap up our time together, since you happen to mention South America, they are in the midst of their planting season, and we know that we have a really good crop here, but they're just in the beginning throes of theirs.
Oh, they are, and, you know, it's a tough road to hoe, especially Mato Grosso and Paraná and Mato Grosso do Sul. They've been extremely dry. They've been warm. I didn't realize until of late that September and October are actually the hottest months down in central Brazil because of their location to the equator. And they're only 10% planted on beans versus a normal 20%, and that's primarily just because it's been hot. Get this, bare ground down there, if there's no cover crop on it, 1 inch down is 140 degrees
Ooh.
Fahrenheit.
I don't want to know what it is on top.
I don't even want to begin to think. But, you know, so this is probably going to cause them to have to replant some of those beans. And, right. You know, you and I had talked earlier about how they may come into competition with us by the end of December. I don't think that that's probably realistic anymore. It's going to push their harvest later. And, you know, new crop sales down there, it's just like here, they're 16% versus 41% last year. They're just dragging their feet, and they're very concerned about Safrinha corn because the later the bean planting goes, the worse it gets in terms of their timing there. So now Argentina's on the opposite side. We figure Brazil's going to lose about 1 million metric tons of production, and they're going to boost their costs because it costs them about 3 to 4 bushels an acre to replant. So now they'd have to yield about 42 bushels to the acre to break even. Argentina's doing terrific. They've got 32% of their corn planted, 11% faster than normal, and their bean acreage is probably going to go up 1.5%, which would mean their crop would increase by 1 million metric tons. So it's kind of a push.
Hey, Jackie, I appreciate you being with us for the day. Jackie, thanks so much for all you do
for
the radio station. Jackie Vakes, of course, is with Stuart Peterson, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Wednesday afternoon. If you have not yet dialed in with your pledge of financial support, right now is the very best time to do it. I kid you not, 217-244-9455 is the number to call. Or go to willag.org. That's willag.org. Up at the top of the page, you will find a rectangle that says Donate Now. However you do it, make sure you tell them or check mark that you're listening in support of agriculture. Isn't that right? Les Schulte.
It is very important, Todd, that they do that right now, because we have a group of loyal ag friends who have come together and put together a terrific challenge fund for this fall. $5,250 is in the challenge fund. When we hear from at least 100 people who make pledges to this week, who mention agriculture as one of the services they use, they appreciate here on this station, $5,250. That pays for a lot of services on this station. We want to thank our friends at AgriGold and Murray Wise and Associates and Bates Commodities, also the CBG Enterprises Incorporated, and our buddy Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity and Analytics and Consulting.
Absolutely. Of course, thanks so much, Les. Les Schulte, of course, from here at the radio station. It is public radio, and you're the public. In this case, we're hoping the agricultural public dial in right now at 217-244-9455 in order to get that $5,250, that $5,250. We need 100 folks to dial in. We're running a little short. It's only, what, Wednesday, so we're running a lot short. How about that? We need you to call in right now. I like the $120 level, but it really doesn't matter at what level you give. Just that you do give, do it now at 217-244-9455. Pledge your financial support, and it'll help us out a lot. It truly will. Whatever you can give is great. If you get to the end of the row, don't turn around and head back on the end of that round. Just make the phone call right now at 217-244-9455. And by the way, Dave Dickey and I thank you so very much for your great support. Up next, if corn farmers want a break-even price for their crop next year, they'll need to plant fewer acres of it. I'll have more on how one ag economist has forward-figured the number of corn acres needed in 2015 to push cash prices back above $4 a bushel. The calculations are complicated and continually evolving, but possible to do. One way to approach the question of how many corn acres are needed in 2015 is to determine the combination of production, consumption, and year-ending stocks that would result in a 2015-16 marketing year average farm price closer to the cost of production. That's estimated to be in the low $4 range, assuming trend yields, in much of the Corn Belt, and requires a stocks-to-use ratio, a combination of all the factors just listed, of about 12%, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good.
If we look forward to say, okay, how much old crop corn are we going to start with next year? What's our consumption base going to be next year? And assuming it's the same as this year, and we want to get our stocks down to about 1.6 billion bushels, how many acres of corn would we need to plant? Well, first of all, you have to say, well, what are we going to yield next year? And just start with the idea that we have a trend yield, 162.5 bushels, that we need to plant about 7.8 million acres more than we harvest. We need to harvest about 80.5 million acres of corn next year, plant something over 88 million, which would be about 2.6 million less than we planted this year.
Again, in order to get to a 12% stocks-to-use ratio, and more importantly, a cash price for corn somewhere just north of $4, U.S. farmers would need to plant about 88 million acres. This is certainly possible. The number is roughly what U.S. farmers planted to corn in 2010. However, the dilemma is that reducing the number of corn acres usually means those acres are planted to either wheat or soybeans. And there isn't any real call for more bushels of those crops.
You know, I think that's the dilemma right now. We do know that total cropland acreage, the USDA's official estimates, do vary somewhat. But just saying that if we're looking at a fixed pie in terms of total crop acres, if we reduce corn 2.6 million, where is that going to go? Right now, the prices favor a little more wheat, a little more soybeans in favor of corn, and then the question is, do we really need more acres of those two crops? And again, starting with the assumption of trend yields next year, you would say we probably really do not need any more acres of those two crops either.
U.S. wheat stocks are expected to increase during the current marketing year, and a trend yield in 2015 would result in a larger crop than produced this year, with no increase in acreage. A trend soybean yield in 2015 would result in a smaller crop than produced this year, but production would still exceed the projection of use during the current marketing year. It may be, thanks Daryl Good, that low prices will result in some decline in total crop acres in 2015.
Let's turn our attention to the cash grain market now. Stephen Linneber is on the phone line. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. Stephen, do you have a line there for dumping corn today?
Not in so much a line, but we got traffic.
And how's it coming in?
Very good. I mean, from a quality standpoint, probably a little wetter than we would expect it to be, but test weight's good. Rolling right through here and just excited to see some new corn bushels.
Yeah, we heard that moisture might be creeping up just a little bit. What's coming in at?
Right around, probably call it average 22.
And so you're going to have to spend some money drying most of it, aren't you?
Yeah, we're gonna start to watch, keep an eye on basis fluctuation, and if those things start to move in a negative manner, it's more so from the standpoint to ration deliveries, number one, and probably try to stay ahead of the dryer.
And how far along do you think you are in both corn and soybean harvest?
20% corn. I'd call it around this draw territory, 65-70 on beans.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn climbers, 321. Cash corn Delphi, 319. And cash beans at Delphi, 932.
Thanks so much, Stephen.
Thanks, Todd.
Stephen Linneber is at the Anderson's Climbers facility. That's near Logansport, Indiana. Joins us on a Wednesday afternoon. Somebody from that office always does. It's one of the ways that we keep you up to speed on what's happening not only in our area, but across the Midwest in terms of agricultural basis and how things are proceeding harvest here. And we do the same thing around the world as well, keeping up on what's been planted other places and what's been marketed other places, less shelter. And there's a reason we do that, because we want to. It's important to Illinois, Indiana, and the Midwest. It is the number one industry in the Midwest, in the state of Illinois, Indiana as well. And we'd like those who listen for a reason to dial in with support at 217-244-9455, wouldn't we?
We certainly would, Todd. A couple of important things right now. You know, the next call is going to put us over the 200 pledge mark for this fund drive. So why don't you be that person? 217-244-9455. And the next couple of pledges, let's say at the $120 level, will put us right past that $42,000 mark on our pledge board. And that's a great place to be, but we need to keep the momentum going. So why don't you be the next one to make your pledge of support? You will also add you towards our Ag Fund Challenge of $5,250. Thanks to Stuart Peterson, Champaign County Branch, Strategic Farm Marketing, the folks at the Andersons. Call right now, 217-244-9455, or go online to willag.org and push the contribute button at the top of the page.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Les. Les Schulte, of course, from right here at WILL Public Radio, where your dollars make a difference to us. 217-244-9455.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985, offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
This, of course, is Illinois Public Media, and public means that you're part of the deal, and we sure do hope that you have already dialed in if you haven't. 217-244-9455. Les Schulte, one of the things that I have not mentioned during this half hour, but I know that we're pretty excited about, actually, a couple of things. The first one we have mentioned, the $5,250, the extra $5,250 extra. The other one is that when folks call in, they have a chance to enter into a raffle for either a deer or a case. All they have to do is tell them deer or case. And in fact, all you have to do is dial in at 217-244-9455 if you want to be in a raffle and say deer or case, and they'll put you in the raffle.
Yeah.
They're going to have to collect some information from you, but one way or the other, you can get in on that deal, can't you?
You certainly can, and these are pretty slick. These are 1/16th scale model tractors of Case or Deere, and we'll be giving those away at the end of the drive. But to get your name in for the drawing, you need to call 217-244-9455 or go online to willpledge.org, mention Case or Deere. Also mention the Ag Services so that we can count you towards the Ag Fund Challenge of $5,250. We need 100 of you by the end of the week. That would be by the end of Friday to call 217-244-9455 or go online to willpledge.org. We know you're busy. Just take a moment and make that call or make that pledge online. You can do that on your phone, too.
Yeah, do it on your phone. Do it right now. The important part is that you do it, and we really do need you to do it. We're running a little behind on the number of folks that called in, and I understand the reasons why. But please do give us a call, 217-244-9455. Your dollars will stretch our dollars a long, long way. Do it right now at 217-244-9455. You're listening to the Closing Market Report for Wednesday afternoon. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, and that means you're involved in the process. In this case, we'd like you to dial in with financial support at 217-244-9455. Thanks so much for doing that. Drew Lerner is on the phone line now to take up the weather forecast for today, tomorrow, and the rest of the week, and probably next week, too. Do we have some open weather or some problems brewing in the Midwest for harvest?
Oh, you know, I think it's going to be a fairly decent period of time, especially for the badly beaten up eastern parts of the Midwest here recently. The Ohio, Indiana, portions of Michigan have had a lot of dreary weather here the last few days, and some light precipitation. It's been cool. It's been really not a very good environment for drying out things and allowing for field work to become aggressive, and that's going to change. These areas will probably be able to go on into maybe Tuesday of next week without any precipitation. We still have a lot of cloud cover out there this afternoon, but it is going to break up over time, and we'll see a big improvement there. For the western Corn Belt, though, we do expect to see a little bit of shower activity developing later today and overnight tonight, and many areas from Kansas to Minnesota and Wisconsin will pick up on at least a little bit of shower activity. This will be a fast-moving system that will likely lose most of its moisture as we go through the day tomorrow. So that's why the eastern portions of the Midwest will probably not be impacted by rain until at least Tuesday of next week, when a second system is likely to come across the region. That second event will be a little bit more significant on rainfall, but nothing like what we went through here in the last couple of weeks. So we will be able to deal with it. I think it'll come and go fairly quickly. Not more than a few hours of this rain is likely to occur from west-east across the Midwest, and we do expect to see several days of good drying weather following it, and temperatures will get warmer than where we are right now. A lot of the eastern Midwest still looking at some very chilly temperatures here today, but by the time we get to the weekend, it'll be 60s and 70s wall-to-wall across the region.
Speaking of dry weather, there has been much concern about South America, in particular Brazil, and the start to their planting season. They normally are dry, but they don't put anything in the ground until they get some rainfall. How are conditions there?
Well, we're starting to see some signs of life here that the annual rains are going to evolve across a big part of the region over the next week to 10 days. There's been some scattering of showers here recently across parts of Mato Grosso and from there down into portions of Minas Gerais and Sao Paulo. And we're going to see this continuing as we move forward through the coming weekend and into early next week. And I still don't think we're going to see necessarily a general soaking, but as each weather system comes along, it will likely generate a higher coverage and a greater amount of actual rainfall in a lot of the country. And by the time we get to the first days in November, everybody will have seen some significant rain and will be off and rocking and rolling through the wet season from that point onward.
Our thanks, of course, to Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City for his update of the weather forecast. He always joins us on a Wednesday afternoon. We hope you will join us and pledge your financial support to the ag programming that comes to you from willag.org. That's willag.org.
And remember to make your pledge call right now at 217-244-9455 or online. You can go to willag.org, hit the red contribute button, mention ag services so we can count you towards that $5,000 $250 challenge we have on the line that'll buy a lot of ag services around
here. $250, baby, and 217-244-9455. On behalf of Les Schulte, thanks for listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.